Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Get $25 off the Ring Video Doorbell when you go to ring.com/allaboutandroid. And by NatureBox. NatureBox ships tasty and guilt-free snacks right to your door with over 100 flavors to choose from, like Sriracha Cashew Crunch. You'll never get bored of snacking again. Try NatureBox at naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 224, recorded on Tuesday, July 28th, 2015. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason L.
I'm Ron Richards, and I'm very thankful that you're back.
Well, it's good to be back. Held the fort. You did all right.
Yeah, I did. I tried. You have big shoes to fill.
Well, there's a lot of moving parts.
I missed you.
I suppose.
I missed you, buddy.
And it's hard to cover all the pieces before I leave, but I'm happy that you're able to do that because I really enjoyed not being here.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
We're joined by not one, but two awesome people. I have Shannon Morse to my right, hack5.org, and many other awesome things that you're doing right now.
Luckily, you can find all the shows that I'm doing at hack5.org, though, so it's very easy to
Luckily.
Luckily for you, you don't have to go to 20 sites. You can go to one.
Just one.
There we go. Also, we have Miriam Jouar back to the show, Tank Girl.
Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Lots of Android news today.
Lots of hardware. Big hardware.
You guys sound like you're married in the beginning of the show.
There was a lot of love there.
At this point, it's been...
I mean, how long have we been doing this show? Tuesday, you're sitting by me, and when I'm not there or you're not there, like,
I mean, honestly, I see really Jason more than some people who like family. Like, to be like, if we're being totally honest, of the top five people I see on a recurring basis, Jason, you are up there.
I'm at least taller than the other
you are
four.
Up there, exactly, physically. Yeah.
And wow, Miriam, you got to go to something pretty awesome last night, which we're going to
talk about now. Should we tell them?
I don't know. Maybe we'll hold on to it. I may have written about it in my tease. Let me see here. We're going to be talking about the stage fright flaw that I'm sure you've all heard about
by
now.
Scary.
Motorola's new lineup of devices announced this morning. The newly announced OnePlus 2 that maybe Miriam Jouar attended the event for yesterday.
Maybe.
How your phone is tracking every move you make, and it's a feature. And more.
Every step you take.
How about we do it?
Let's do it.
We've got lots to talk about.
I can't wait to hear what's coming up in the news.
Jump into the news.
It's a party of four in the Android studio, and the host happens to be an Eskimo. It's time for Android News.
All right, Brian Zell, so Zach steps in.
Well,
he's an Eskimo. It's true. So are you actually an Eskimo?
Yes, I am actually part Eskimo.
Wow. So you can say that.
Grandpa's grandma was an Inuit.
Okay.
That's awesome. Mm.
Okay. But only part Eskimo.
He's Eskimo in the same way that I say I'm Italian.
Yeah, I learned this fact when I was in eighth grade. I thought it was so cool. Yeah. I had to make all my screen names Eskimo Zach and that Eskimo guy. And, you know, eighth grade just hasn't stopped following me around.
Here we go. All of a sudden, we're all about Zach. I like the Eskimo.
Yeah, no kidding. You wish you were an Eskimo. Oh, goodness, wrong.
I've actually never been to Alaska. I want to go to Alaska as we continue on the tangent. That's what I've heard. I've heard it's very cool.
There's a joke about igloos in there.
Possibly.
Maybe some year Black Hat will be hosted in Alaska. You think this is my transition?
I would actually really appreciate it if it was hosted
not Vegas. Are you going to Black Hat?
Degrees.
Are you going to be there?
I will be at B-Sides Las Vegas and DEF CON. I'll be missing Black Hat because it's impossible to get in.
Mm, okay.
Figuratively and literally.
You have to hack your way in.
Right, yeah, exactly. And
so, like, you have to prove your worth by hacking into Black Hat.
It's more corporate, and a lot of the talks that they give there end up coming out at DEF CON as well. So there's really, like, yeah, we could go, but I prefer the DEF CON audience more.
Sure. And you've got some guts going to DEF CON. I would not. I'm afraid being in San Francisco when DEF CON's going on.
Don't bring a laptop.
Yeah, exactly.
I go to Safeway, and I buy the $29.95 Android phone from LG. That you can buy prepaid with a prepaid SIM, and I destroy it with a hatchet at the end.
So yeah,
but when you do that, do you log into your normal accounts on it?
No.
Okay.
So why would you ever do that?
I don't log into any accounts. I just like surf the web for things I need to find.
Yeah.
And cry a lot in my sleep at night.
Yeah, there's plenty to cry about at these conferences, which makes me wonder why anyone would specialize in this kind of stuff, because it would just frighten you day and night.
Speaking of
Black Hat is next week. And mobile security firm, a mobile security firm called Zimperium, who I'd never heard of before, will show a video and release proof of concept code illustrating how the StageFright media playback engine, this is in Android devices 2.2 and above, can be exploited to run malicious C++ code that potentially gives full system access to those that are using that or utilizing that exploit. That's 950 million vulnerable devices. The demonstration, at least in this case, uses Hangouts kind of as the delivery mechanism or vector, whatever you want to call it. But it's a system-level exploit. So this is not like an exploit of just Hangouts. This is system-wide. The Hangouts MMS can actually delete itself after being received. So I would get a message out of nowhere, an MMS message, and what happens is Hangouts and takes that file and kind of prepares it for you.
Yes.
And in doing so, it processes it in some ways, maybe to give you a thumbnail or something. And in doing that, it's executing whatever the exploit is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And then it could delete itself afterwards, leaving no trace. That code, Steve Gibson, of course, head security now, earlier today, spoke with Leo Laporte about this and said the code, as is usually the case when these things are kind of announced, will quickly be weaponized, but who knows how what that means beyond that. Like, 950 million devices is a lot of devices. Who's really going to see that?
It means fright and stage.
Does it mean FUD? Does it mean fear, uncertainty, and doubt? Like, is this something to actually be scared of?
Well, I should mention that before DEF CON and Black Hat happen every single year in Vegas, we always hear about really frightening exploits that are coming out, and they always... Well, luckily, the people that are giving talks at these conventions always use responsible disclosure, or they should, which basically means that they go to the company and give them a chance to solve the problem before they actually release it publicly and give a talk. And usually they'll tell the company beforehand if they're going to give a talk as well. So they have a chance to fix it. And in the case of StageFright, Google has already implemented an exploit, but it's going to take a lot longer for all the carriers and all the different devices that run Android to actually implement the the download for the new security update as well.
I mean, you know that a lot of people are just going to be screwed, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, anybody with a carrier phone right now, even a pretty new one, is pretty much screwed.
Yeah, I'm probably screwed right now. I have a Verizon Note 4, and I'm sure that's going to take forever to get an update. It took forever to get Lollipop on this phone. So I know that it's going to take a while to get the update on here. Luckily, the main problem with this is all they need is your phone number to be able to exploit this MMS problem with StageFright. So by simply knowing your phone number, Jason, I could send you this exploit via... I'm assuming that they're using steganography to put this code inside of a video file. Steganography, it's on Wikipedia. It's this whole weird way that you can put files or images or whatever you want inside a different file to kind
of
hide it.
Yeah, that was one of my questions.
It's really cool. But I'm assuming they use it. I'm not sure, though. But they put this code inside a video file. They send it to you via SMS. MMS. All they need to know is your phone number, and you receive that MMS on your phone. You don't even have to pick up your phone and, you know, open it or unlock it or anything. It's already exploited you. So that's the scary part.
It's already been processed.
Yeah, all they need to know is a phone number.
Okay, so one thing that you can do in a lot of these messaging apps, and you can do this in Hangouts, because I checked and I did it, whether it makes a difference or not, it seemed like it would, is auto-retrieve MMS.
Yes.
Is that kind of fix it here?
As far as we know, it does fix the issue for you, but
in
generally,
Hangouts, but it's a system-wide thing, so it can happen.
So there are
a
lot of other applications that also automatically download these MMS messages. It's not going to fix those unless they also have that option to turn it off too.
Right, and ultimately, if it's system-wide, that just means it needs to be patched.
Yeah.
And Google's doing that. For the Nexus devices, they'll probably see that update.
And what's even worse, for at least for Android users, is that I know a lot of interactions that we have with our friends who also have iPhones, and then they're doing group messaging, and people in the iMessage that send a group message, it comes to us as MMS messages.
Yes, it does.
So if you're going to turn off auto-retrieve MMS messages and you are a part of a group that's got that's with iPhone people, you're going to have a lot of MMSs to approve the retrieval.
Yeah.
Yes, it's going to protect you, but it's going to get really tiresome after a while.
It is. It's security over usage.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah.
I just blame the iPhone people, as you call them. iPhone people.
As if they don't, they might not exist.
As if it's just them.
Those people using iPhones, whatever.
That's a big source of MMS. Yeah. If this is a delivery mechanism, or just one of many possible ways to get it on there. But, I mean, that said, Google's already got the fix out the ASOP. They have no known examples of this being exploited in the wild.
Yeah, nobody's noticed it being exploited in the wild, even though 950 million devices could be exploited.
That's the usual scare tactics of a billion devices are going to be affected by this, and really no one's been affected.
And if
by
you
it
use yet. Cyanogen mod, there's already a download available on Cyanogen mod's website. It's /C/103270.
Right. And to your point about being on Verizon, I think this is going to be really interesting to see how seriously they take this sort of thing and how quickly they get an update out whether they sit on it. I hope they do it rather quickly. I mean, I'm carrierless, so I'm as soon as Google,
lucky.
That's one of the.
So here's a question for you, Shen. Would you on your phones, would this be a Google Play Services patch or would it actually be an OS level patch?
I'm thinking it'll be an OS patch because stage fright is so deep near root of your devices that it would require more than just Google Play.
This is deeper than Google Play services, right? I mean, that's what
I read. Scary.
That's
too bad. And these security stories come up often, and you read a lot of articles written about freaking out, Android's so unsafe, blah blah blah, and then there's always a few of those kind of counteracting articles that are like, the sky is not falling, it's okay. The numbers don't reflect that anything's happened. I personally, and maybe I'm wrong, I feel like this is just a little bit different from the sky is falling argument, only because it hasn't been exploited yet doesn't matter in this case, because the long tail of this is the facts are the exploit will be known next week in code.
Yep.
And it's going to take 950 million devices, most of which aren't going to ever get updated.
Right.
All of them will be affected, and that people are going to, weaponize it in some form.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the fact that it hasn't been exploited yet really doesn't mean a whole lot. I think the actual danger is beyond next week.
It's going to get exploited as soon as Black Hat happens and the code is available.
Yeah.
As long as they actually publicize the code, then it'll get exploited, which is an unfortunate part about, these conventions when they do these talks.
Yeah.
But hopefully by making this information public, it'll make the carriers bring out an update faster.
So the people who say not to freak out, the apologists, they're the iPhone people.
That's so mean. I wouldn't freak out. I would recommend just not giving out your phone number more than you need to, and turning off auto retrieve of MMS if that's available.
To begin with.
Or use Hangouts because that one actually lets you do it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay, this is kind of a side question, but so the problem here is twofold, right? On the Android side, it's that go away, voice command. I didn't wake you up. Go back to sleep. The one problem lies in Google's hands, which is just that Android in and of itself has been created so that pushing out these updates is really not as easy as just saying, update your devices, right? It has all these hurdles. And then on the other hand, we have the carriers that we always love to blame because they're so slow at updating. Mm-hmm. Who's more to blame in this regard? I guess they both are. But does this mean that at some point Google has to come up with a solution for something like this?
Like a system level ability.
If this is something that's going to actually affect a lot of devices.
That's kind of an ongoing debate with any exploit that comes out, because you're always going to have some issue with any kind of code. I mean, we've had issues with our own hardware and software devices that Hack5 sells. Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing issue, and you're always going to have these things come out, and you're always going to have somebody fixing them. Sure. Yeah, it's a part of the landscape. It's something we have to live with, and Google needs to be in charge of this, but there's only so much that somebody can do. You know, whoever they hire, nobody's going to be a perfect coder.
Sure.
At least that's how I feel.
All right. All right. Cool.
So, yeah, so turn off auto-retrieve MMS and be careful.
Just be careful.
Whew. Okay, well, moving away from stage fright. So we saw, I don't even remember when it was, but remember when Google Plus rolled out and Google's all behind it and they tied every service to your Google Plus account? So much so that if you wanted to comment on YouTube, you needed to create a Google Plus account, which had a lot of YouTube creators getting angry and getting upset, not understanding why, turning off their comments on videos and protest and that sort of thing. But then just a couple months ago, we saw Google Plus roll out and not require Google Plus login. And a lot of people wondering what does this mean about Google Plus? Well, the ongoing de-plussing of Google services continues as our good friend Bradley Horowitz, who's the VP of Streams, Photos, and Sharing, announced that Google Plus membership will no longer be tied to or required for anything at Google, including YouTube comments. As for what this means for Google Plus, Bradley Horowitz says, relieved of the notion of integrating with every other product at Google, Google Plus can now focus on doing what it's already doing quite well, helping millions of users around the world connect around the interests they love. Aspects of the product that don't serve this agenda haven't been or will be retired. So what they're doing here is, as opposed to putting Google Plus as the backbone or the spine of all Google services, they're taking it out of the spotlight and just treating it like another service, whether it's YouTube or Google Photos or Gmail or whatever, and decoupling it from, you know, being the be-all, end-all of your Google account, which I think is fine and it makes sense and also doesn't predict the end of Google Plus, as a lot of people are saying. Oh, this is the first, then this is another nail in the coffin of Google Plus. I think they're just saying Google Plus has now grown to a point where we don't need to force people to use it, which I think is a good thing.
I actually really liked tying in Google Plus with YouTube.
Yeah.
But just because
do you think it really controlled anything? Content creator plus girl in tech equals
more proof of concept that if people are using their real names via Google Plus, then they are more likely to give you constructive criticism as opposed to just
trolling, being
a jerk.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
right.
It was great for me.
I found that too. There were a few flaws though. I found that, you know, obviously sometimes like some comments wouldn't appear, like, and like there's some madness going on.
It drives me nuts that I can't reply to some of
Google
Plus comments.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But I think overall I liked it too. I am glad they're decoupling it. Yeah. As long as it's still an option for you to use Google Plus to comment on YouTube somehow.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Because for example, as far as this show is concerned, I do all my Google Plus posts about, you know, the shows that I produce, like All About Android, after the fact. And then I get all these replies, and they're all totally tied to the show. And
that
they end
really
up
nice.
On the YouTube video page, which I think is actually really cool. Because, then there's all this extra context around it and questions and answers and everything. Is that going to not happen anymore?
We'll see. Well, they haven't implemented the change yet. It's going to roll out in the next couple of weeks, so we'll see. You know, and it would be nice to see it as just be an option. Do you want to link your Google Plus account to your YouTube account? Great.
Right.
Nothing changes. Do you just want a YouTube account where you don't need to worry about Google Plus? Great. You know, because I know people who want to do stuff on YouTube that don't want to be on Google Plus for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are anti-social network or whatever, you know, don't want another spammy thing.
Yep.
You know? So I think it's fine.
Yeah.
So
cool.
All right.
Google Now Voice Actions can now be used with messaging apps that, you know, outside of Hangouts, Google's messaging app. That includes WhatsApp, WeChat, Viber, and a few others. To start, you'd say, okay, send a WhatsApp message to Shannon, followed by a message to send. And actually, in this regard, one of the few times that it's not limited to the U.S. at launch, so we're not the only ones to get it here, which
that's
I'm sure there
cool.
are a lot of people that are happy about. So, and just kind of an example of how more and more Google Now is kind of reaching outside of just Google's properties, and developers are able to tap into it, which I think
that's awesome.
Yeah, just a really great option to have.
Until they decouple it in a year.
Sure.
No, I doubt they will. No, it's neat. I mean, the things that they could do with Google Now, I think, are great. And just that, you know, creating that OK Google as that assistant hot word to, you know, that goes deeper than just Google services is tying it to the apps is interesting. So,
yeah.
It's about time, I think.
Yeah. So, cool. So, a little bit of sad news. We've been tracking for the life of the show the gaming platform pretty called much, Ouya. Yeah. I was really excited about it, but we knew that they shut down their hardware division late last year, and I'd actually heard rumors through my personal network that they were, and plus it was written about and stuff like that, but that they were looking for a buyer and they were looking for a way to, you know, they were reaching the end of their line. Well, now we know the fate of them. The once super hyped Ouya microconsole, as Razer confirmed its acquisition of the company in an all-cash deal. That's the company Razer, R-A-Z-E-R. The kicker is that Razer isn't acquiring the hardware portion of the company that they shut down in late 2014, meaning this is an acqui-hire of the developer relations and technical teams. Ouya CEO and co-founder Julie Ehrman isn't going to Razer. And Razer plans to integrate Ouya's games and account assets of more than 200,000 users into its Cortex TV game platform, which will be relaunched for Android TV. So this is purely a strategic buy for them to get a whole bunch of users for their new platform, as well as some developers and developer relations
some of the
people.
Minds.
Yeah. And Ouya goes to a
knowing
grave.
You.
Yeah.
Did any one of us get in on the Ouya train?
No.
Which is probably the problem.
Jeff Needles, former Twit employee, had one, and I remember when I first actually saw the Ouya in person, and just kind of being like, "Wow, that's
it's
like
a little box."
Yeah, it's just kind of okay. And I mean, you know, obviously it's more than just a little piece of hardware that you look at and touch, but it just didn't really excel in anything. I think
no, it didn't. It was
obviously
pretty
didn't
boring.
Resonate very much. So
I mean, I think it was a. There is something to be said about Android being a viable platform for games. You know, my friend Chris Price, he's been trying to get high-end gaming going on Android on Intel chips.
Cool.
And he's got, his company iConsole has collaboration with Intel around that. I think there's as an ex-game developer, I think there's a viable thing here with Android being a really good OS to do gaming on with the right hardware. Yeah. But I think it's going to take a little time to get the developers on board. And, you know, the hardware that we use that's optimized for mobile use, like tablets and phones, are just not going to cut it for the kind of gaming performance that console gamers are expecting. Mm-hmm. And so Ouya wasn't really giving us that level of performance, right? They were just repackaging a phone into a tiny little box, basically.
Yeah.
And so I think there's some opportunities there. I think, you know, do we need yet another console platform? I don't think so. That's the other problem, right? Mm-hmm. People are like Xbox and PlayStation. That's basically it.
Well, yeah, and Nintendo as well.
Yeah,
well, Wii U. Yeah, Wii U is a lot of fun. But the thing is that what I thought what Ouya and Android as a whole when it comes to gaming is suffering from is the lack of releases.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of indie developers who are releasing some stuff but it's not that popularly known, and you've got some ports of some games that have already been on iOS or already been on some other platform, and what Ouya or whether it's NVIDIA Shield or any of these other devices need is they need something that you can only get on this platform to increase adoption. I mean, like going back to the Nintendo example, we wanted to play Super Mario Brothers. You could only get it on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Like, that's what it needs. I mean, case in point, I was so excited to see the new King's Quest is out, and I immediately went to the website, and it's only available on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation, and I don't have any of those. And how great would that be if that was on Android? Mm-hmm. I would buy it in a second.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. Yeah. But I mean, if anybody's going to, I think, execute on that, you know, Razer was definitely a good candidate for potentially an Android on Intel gaming experience, whether it's actually a console or a tablet. And then the other one is NVIDIA, right? I mean, they've already shown several times now that they're making hardware that is a little more game-specific and game-powerful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're probably the most successful kind of like dedicated gaming outfit.
So I think, I think this is eventually going to, kind of gel into something. I think Ouya just kind of didn't have, you know, that edge that they needed with, you know, as you said, a unique title and a good game.
And the hardware
also
to back
the
it up.
Hardware to
yeah,
back
agreed.
It.
Yeah, if the hardware is not there, of course, they're not going to get the developers. Sandman in the chat room says they needed a Halo, which they didn't have. You know,
right.
So, which is what got me to buy Xbox back in the day. Yeah, so, I mean, those go hand in hand. So
all of us.
We'll see. So, yeah.
All right, let's take a break and thank a new sponsor on this show. It's the Ring Video Doorbell. I actually got one of these not too long ago, which was very convenient because at our house, I didn't have a doorbell that was working. So I got the kit. I've got it right here. I don't know if you can see this here. It's actually really cool because you get the kit and you literally have everything you need in here to kind of get it all set up. I know you got the drill bit there. If you need to get really, really, drilly and in order to mount it. Thankfully, I didn't really have to do that. I could just use the wood screws and go right into the wall, the outside wall of the house. But basically what this allows you to do is it's exactly how it sounds. It's a video doorbell, right? So I'll just go ahead and push that. And get a little bit of an alarm. Ends up doing is that ends up sending a notification to my phone. And if you have B-roll, you can show kind of the process. When I got this, I threw on my Google Glass and decided I was going to kind of record the process of installing it. They make it really easy. Cool. Like you install the app, you go ahead and run that, and they'll kind of walk you through syncing it so that you get it on to your Wi-Fi. So I have a Wi-Fi router at my house. And this video doorbell, the Ring video doorbell, actually connects directly to my Wi-Fi access point. And it's, constantly talking to it. So anytime someone comes up to the door, hits the doorbell, it sends a notification through to my phone that somebody's at the doorbell. You can set it up to detect motion. So if somebody gets within a certain range that you specify of the front of your house, you can have it just notify you and say, hey, there's motion at your front door. And you can kind of click through and with their cloud their cloud recording service, you can kind of see the last 30 seconds of when they were, who was there, or maybe it was just a bird or whatever. Or in my case, it's usually my kids walking in and out of the door.
This is really cool. Would you recommend something like that in the city, for example? Because, obviously they can take it off the wall. That's what I'm concerned with.
No, that's the thing, actually. I don't show it in the video here, but it's a proprietary screw and bit that they use. So in order to secure it to the wall, you would have to really rip it off. And
in the city,
I suppose where there's a will, there's a way, as far as that's concerned.
That's not going to help.
But it's pretty darn cool nonetheless. And I can kind of show you, I don't know if you have my video coming in through the MHL, but this is the app real quick. And I can kind of give you a sense of kind of what you see throughout the course of any given week. But
I like that you can also use this in a rental property. I ran into Ring at a press event, and they said you can install it in rental property, and it looks super easy too. So luckily, I'd be able to use it at my place too.
Yeah, totally. So you can see front motion today, 11:53, there was motion. I'll go ahead and go down to, it's kind of covered with this trial button here, but this was a missed call. And usually that, like I said, that's usually my kid at the dorm.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so they've learned, which I kind of love, they've learned that when they hit the doorbell, dad might talk to them. Because once I get a call from them, I can actually call through.
Does
and
it become
talk
an
to
intercom?
Them. What's that?
Is it an intercom?
There's a speaker on the other side, and they can talk to me, and I can talk to them and hear them and everything like that. So now they press it all the time, which
that's funny.
Which is actually pretty awesome because I'll be at work and then I'll get a call from my kids at the door. So, anyways, they're super cool. Time Magazine named this one of the top 10 gadgets of 2014. This is going to help you because over 95% of home break-ins happen during the day, and you have no way to track this. With the Ring video doorbell, you do. You can make sure that people aren't getting into your home, or if there's somebody there with a delivery, you can just tell them, "Hey, just leave it on the front step."
And it's not just homes. My gym in the city uses this as well for the door. They have a locked door with the key card thing. If that doesn't work, you press that and someone lets you in. It's awesome.
It's very cool. It's like caller ID for your home. It doesn't take very long. There's actually a built-in rechargeable battery if you don't want to hook it up to the power, and that battery lasts for a full year. It's crazy. So check it out right now. You can get the Ring video doorbell for only $174. That's $25 off the normal price, and you can protect your home. You can have peace of mind with Ring. Go to ring.com/allaboutandroid and check it out for yourself. That's ring.com/allaboutandroid. I've already ordered. They have a companion bell that you can install on the inside as well, so that when it rings, it sends it through to the bell. So
a physical doorbell. Yeah, that's cool. Very cool.
If you don't just want to know that somebody's at your door on your phone, you can actually have an actual out loud doorbell on the inside.
If you install this to replace Chime. If you install this to replace your doorbell and you already have a doorbell, it will ring it, right?
Well, it connects into the wiring of your system.
But it does. So. Does it ring your door? Like if you have a physical, I think it would. That's the whole idea.
I would imagine that it would. Yeah,
it would because emulate it's passing through, the button, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I think is cool.
So there we go. The Ring video doorbell. Check it out. Ring.com/allaboutandroid.
Awesome.
All right. Speaking of neat hardware, we've got a lot to talk about this week. Let's check it out.
Exciting news this week.
Are you excited?
All eyes are on the Android world. So this morning, Motorola announced its new lineup of three new phones, and this is the first announcement since Lenovo acquired Motorola last October. So everyone was curious what they were going to see, and I'll be honest, I was pretty impressed with this offering. So, and I want to hear what everyone else thinks, but let's go through them first. First up, we got the Moto X Style. Which is also called the Moto X Pure Edition in the U.S. It's a 1.8 gigahertz Snapdragon 808, 3 gig of RAM, 5.7 QHD display, 16 gig of storage, 3,000 milliamp battery, NFC, microSD, turbo charging, 21 megapixel rear-facing camera, 5 megapixel front-facing camera, the Moto Maker customizations that we all know and love, and you can get it for $399 unlocked in September.
Does it have OIS?
I don't know.
Optical image stabilization on the camera. I don't believe that
it
does.
I don't think it does.
Let me dive in and check.
This is the same 21 megapixel camera as the Max last year or whatever, Turbo, Droid Turbo.
Okay.
No OIS. Fatal flaw.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so if it's the same camera, is it in fact the same camera?
It's got
to
be.
Well, we need to verify that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it is. Apparently, they're doing some photo tests. Who is it?
I mean, the software will matter a lot, right? Don't get me wrong. But why not reuse last year's sensor? It's still pretty new.
Yeah.
DxO Mark rated this camera second best.
Yeah,
behind
DxO
the
Mark,
S6.
Come on, please.
I don't know.
Like the G4 still beats this thing. I can guarantee you that. And that's the
probably.
Thing. It's like
probably, but if it's anywhere close to the G4 or the S6, that's a huge improvement.
Yeah.
Well, it can't be without OIS. I mean, you're not going to get
there
true. In low light.
OIS
you're
is
just
a
not
going
to. I mean, people.
Well, let's look to see if we can confirm or not. We don't know. We're speculating. But in the meantime, the big selling point here is that Motorola is selling this direct to customers online, limited carrier partners. At first, we all thought there'd be no carrier partners, but this phone will be supported by U.S. carriers, so you can buy it, use it with your own carriers. But I heard on the way in when I was driving in that there's also going to be versions that are sold by the carriers of this phone.
Oh, there will be.
Under different names, like the Droid name or whatever, will be available for Verizon. But you can buy this
Motorola form of old.
Exactly. But they will be direct selling this unlocked for $399. And I got to tell you, OIS or not, that this phone's got my attention big time.
Unlocked $399 is a pretty good price.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So the second phone is the Moto Play. A 1.7 gigahertz Snapdragon 615. It's got 2 gig of RAM, a 5.5-inch HD display, 3630 milliamp battery, that's turbo charging, 21 megapixel rear-facing camera, 5 megapixel front-facing camera. Available in August, but not available in the U.S.
Yeah. So this one is the Moto X Play, right? Not just Play.
The
Moto
X Play. Yes.
Sorry, typo. Yeah, Moto X Play.
Yep, you're right.
So this basically, to me, seems like a repackaged Droid Turbo.
Yeah.
With a slightly bigger screen. Oh, it's not QHD.
It's not QHD. HD. Yeah, no, it's a 5.5. Yeah.
And so it's the larger battery and not QHD
screen. This is going to be an awesome phone for those people who need the best battery life ever.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not to the U.S. What?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just strange. I mean, not now. It's probably going to come to the
eventually,
U.S.
Eventually, maybe
point.
Through some deal.
But this is, I don't understand this weird strategy of not launching these in the U.S. all at the same time.
It's very strange. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the last phone, which has got a lot of people excited, is the rumored, we saw some rumors about this a couple weeks ago, the Moto G, which is a 1.4 gigahertz Snapdragon 410, 5-inch 720p display, so it's a smaller form factor, 2470 milliamp battery, microSD, 13 megapixel rear-facing camera, 5 megapixel front-facing camera, 4G LTE is a standard feature, waterproof coating, $189 with 8 gig of storage, 1 gig of RAM, $219 for 16 gig of storage and 2 gig of RAM. A very affordable phone.
Okay, that's the one that's got
eight
me
gigs
excited.
Is not
exactly.
A lot.
You know why it's got me excited? Because like the G's have been systematically my pick of the Motos for the last 3 years.
Well, they've been the public's pick. They've been
I've
the most successful
product. I've just never
been
a big fan of the X.
Releasing.
The X last year, like 2014, was my favorite X so far. But the G, I mean, like, look at this. This is basically just an update. Same display, 5-inch 720p. micro SD, all the good stuff. Same storage, 8 gigs. The old one wasn't available as an LTE-only device, so right. This is a nice update.
Well, the old one, but I think you could upgrade.
You
to
could,
it,
yeah. There's a version, but now it's only. Yeah. But look, the big news here is the camera.
Yep.
And you know, you don't need OIS at that price point, so I'm not going to complain. I think this would be my pick, right? Honestly. And then the IPX7 waterproofing is another big deal. Do we know if the Play has micro SD in the Style?
Oh, that's
no,
a
Style
good
has micro
that's
SD.
The question I had, if it has micro
it's listed
SD.
Here. The Play doesn't have micro SDs listed, so I just want to make sure that we have these.
Specs. Yeah, I didn't
so we
got to
see if
that,
the so we see if the X-Play.
All have micro SD. Says JJ in the chat.
Okay,
room.
Good, right. Good, good.
So there we
good,
go.
Thanks, guys.
It would be kind of strange if one of them did.
Well, you know, last the that's the thing. Last year, the X did not have micro SD. The prior the G always has had it, and the X hasn't. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually surprised to see that the Style and the Play have it now, which is kind of a cool thing.
But I think all three of these are really interesting. Whether the OIS is a good question, but regardless, if somebody like me who's on a Nexus 5, the opportunity to go up to a 21 megapixel camera.
It's not about pixels, man. It's well, about
no, it's
I know,
not.
I know.
It's
just
honestly, look, I honestly think like I just want to reiterate this once and for all. The Nexus 5 is a great camera.
Yeah, it is.
Simply because you have so much you can do. You can do so much more with OIS.
Yeah.
You can open that shutter for a longer time and get some really cool shots. You can do long exposures, which are really hard to do. Without. Like even if you're resting on something without.
Right.
And to me, that I'd take that and less resolution over 21. I mean, remember the M9. 21 megapixels of crap.
Yeah. Okay? That is a good point. That is a very, very good point. Yeah.
Am I the only person that's worried that the Moto Play only has 2 gigs of RAM? Or am I just crazy?
No, it's fine.
You think it's fine? Okay. Yeah.
I mean, think about it. We're going to talk about another phone that has 4 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
That's kind of overkill, almost. Like, 3 gigs on my G4. I'm like,
is there such thing as overkill with RAM?
Yeah. No, I agree there isn't. But think about it. Some Chromebooks are shipping with 2 gigs of RAM.
I know it.
I don't know. I think it's kind of getting out of control.
Well, I think between Motorola and then what we'll talk about here in a couple of seconds, the OnePlus 2, in both categories, what you're looking at is you're not looking at premium top-of-the-line flagship devices. You're looking at pretty darn good and pretty affordable.
Yeah.
Actually, really
do
good.
Do we know the price
and
on
really
the
really affordable. But that's why you're not seeing something like all of them. All the features. You're not seeing OIS because
I get that. I think at $399, I think it's an interesting proposition to me.
Yeah.
Do we know the pricing on the Play? I know it's not US available, but maybe in euros or something. Anyone chat room, come to our rescue.
Did we have it? Did I have it in here? No. Yeah, I didn't find that.
Because that I think
you know what? It was a range. What I saw was like between $300 and $400.
I think it's going to be interesting.
So I'm not sure what that actually means.
The turbocharging, I guess it's their version of fast charge, Qualcomm fast charge.
Turbocharging. Awesome.
Which, oh man, once you have it,
how can you live without it?
I don't want a phone without it. And, you know, I'll make other sacrifices.
Makes a great hand warmer, the larger battery, the better.
But seriously, turbocharges addresses a lot of my
makes
issues.
Great hand warming in the winter. do we know if these have Qi optional on any of these wireless charging?
I didn't see anything about
because, you know, the Nexus was made by Moto last year and has Qi and has OIM.
You would think that it would, yeah.
Wait, it's a $650.
Right, I didn't see anything about Qi.
But I'm surprised about those screen sizes. So the G here is reasonable, 5 inches. But one of the things that everybody said about the original Moto X and even last year's Moto X was that they felt that, you know, I know many friends who picked the Moto X over the Nexus 6 simply because they're like, it's a very close to stock Android experience in a size I feel I can manage and I'm happy with. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that basically Moto is saying, if you want that size, you need to get a Snapdragon 410, which is fine, but it's not the greatest. The 610, the 615 is a really decent processor, but the 410.
Well, it's clear that whatever product managers that are at these companies, whether it's Samsung or Motorola or Apple or whomever, are saying that the large form factor is the way to go, and they're just pushing everything there. And so, you know, I wonder if Motorola is thinking that in order to compete with the iPhone 6, in order to compete with the Samsungs of the world, stuff like that, they need to have
the iPhone 6 is 4.7. It's not even.
Not the big iPhone 6.
Oh, the 6 Plus.
The 6 Plus or whatever. Yeah.
The big one.
Yeah. The the movie theater
the
size.
The massive one?
Yeah, exactly.
The one that looks like a Nexus 6?
Oh, you mean the one that's the same size as this.
Exactly, yeah. I say that's a movie theater one, too. You
know, those iPhone people, really, I don't know what they're talking about.
Love my big phone. Ever since I transferred over to the Note 4, I was like, yes,
well, that's what everyone says, that once you go that big, you can't go back.
But you know what? No. I think the Nexus 6 is too big still, though.
Yeah.
Like I love the Note 4 and I love the 5.5 inch phones I have, but and 5.7 is okay, but 6, no, you've crossed the line into the uncanny valley of screen size.
That's phablet.
Think about it. Like same with the Lumia 1520. That thing is just like a massive monster.
As long as I can fit it in my back pocket, I'm happy.
Right. Yeah,
will it bend?
I put this in my pocket the other day and then walked by a mirror and I was like, I've gotten so used to my entire pocket being a phone. Yeah. Like pretty much you can't get anything else in that pocket. I've just gotten so used to that. Let's see here. So Motorola was not the only, like, where's my camera? Motorola was not the only company to unveil highly anticipated devices. The other one was OnePlus, and man, you know, the hype train has been going strong for the past couple of months on this one. Miriam, you were at the event. Where was the event?
In San Francisco yesterday. Okay. If you're watching this not live, it would mean Monday, July 27th.
There we go.
And it was, you know, it's interesting. They kind of, I think they briefed the top tier media individually in the morning, and both New York and SF. And then some of us got to all go into a room for 3 or 4 hours from 1 to 4, so 3 hours, and play with it and take notes. And it was great. There was no press conference. There was no announcement. There was no talking head.
They didn't require you to watch their half-hour VR presentation.
Right. We show up, and they have every single person could grab a phone and go to town.
You didn't need an invite to look at the phone?
It was great. I logged in with
to the event.
They didn't invite to the event.
And the best part was, you know, I was able to log in with my account and, like, you know, download my apps and try, like, some serious stuff, which was great. They also had Carl Pei and a few other people from OnePlus there for us to ask questions and whatever. And there was a lot of raging debates around some of the things that we're about to discuss. I want to bring up, I know I'm going to start guns blazing because the NFC stuff is just blowing my
mind. I was going to point out, Motorola devices all have NFC.
So this is how crazy this is. I didn't even think of checking. I spent 3 hours with the phone. I didn't even go in the menu where the NFC was because I'm like, it's a flagship killer, which is a big joke, by the way. Yep. But, you know, of course it has NFC, right? I'm okay with the Huawei P8 Lite that I just reviewed not having NFC. I can live with that. The Moto G not having NFC last year, I can live with that. But that phone, that's insane to me. And you're going to say, well, why do you need it? Well, I'll tell you why. There's three reasons why you need NFC. Three reasons why you need NFC.
You're doing a live listicle right now, aren't you?
Yeah. One is, most importantly for me, is Bluetooth pairing. So if you have a device that has NFC Bluetooth pairing, you're like me, you have a whole bunch of different headphones and stuff. They all, and you use different phones, they all forget their pairing. Tap and you're done. Yep. Instantly. Great. Second one is arguably coming soon is Google Pay.
Absolutely.
Hopefully they do it right this time because you've seen Apple do a pretty good job with that. Mm-hmm. Third, and I think that's kind of going to become more pivotal in the future, like when a phone you buy today needs to be upgraded in 2 years, is the tap to transfer your entire phone settings and content.
The transfer with
Lollipop and Android M.
That's nice. Not essential.
It's not essential.
For the vast majority of people.
But it's the kind of thing that I feel like once you use it and have it, you'll never want to go away from it.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Sure. Yeah. So look, for something that costs, and I've looked into this, less than 50 cents.
That's retail.
The chips to manufacture. They're like 5 cents.
What?
Yeah.
Now, OnePlus says they dropped NFC because OnePlus One owners simply were not using it.
No. You want to know what pisses me off?
But they needed to cut corners, and you have to imagine they're not using it. What pisses me off the most is when
I asked about Qi Wireless and why it didn't have it and why it doesn't have support for it either, when Carl Pei told me in my face, we don't think wireless charging is a good experience.
It's an amazing experience.
And I'm like, I use that every single day. Freaking out of your mind?
it's A, a good experience, and B, you're talking about the early adopter tech-savvy folks. Those are the only ones who buy OnePluses. I'm sorry to break your bubble, but the iPhone users are not going to replace their iPhones with OnePluses. They're going to replace with the Galaxy S6s, okay? And so that means a simple thing, is that if you address a phone that's a flagship killer to the early adopter and tech-savvy, you want to give them choices. I'm not saying that it has to have a back that ships with Qi, but put the freaking contacts in there and get a case available with that as an option. Like, seriously. Right. And everyone in the media was totally with me, and Kyle was like, well, you know, we just don't think it's a good experience.
Well, guess what? Everybody else does.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to say at that point when they've made the decision
I think he was honest. I think he just too, like, tunnel vision. I see this with my clients all the time. They're working on the same thing for so long.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't understand common sense anymore.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I think is, I mean, the wireless charging thing I can't speak to, but the them using their OnePlus One user data to show that people aren't using NFC is really interesting, because if they've got the user data, the anonymous user data that's saying people aren't using NFC, then I could see that backing up the decision. I disagree with it because for all the reasons you did, as well as there are applications to NFC that haven't happened yet that could get more people using them, so why wouldn't you be prepared when the cost is so low?
And OnePlus One is NFC.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going backwards.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the big reason for me, and you know, some people in chat are like, look, it's like a $300 to $400 phone.
Talk about
like, what
rest-
do you, yeah. Well, yeah, we haven't
but
even talked
there's
about
other
the rest
$300 to $400 market phones that have these options.
Yeah. Well, maybe there are
Nike,
other ways
the
to
Moto
cut it back.
Style.
I think the biggest one for me is the Android Pay aspect, because I think Apple has done, like it or not, what it always does, which is legitimize certain sectors and things. And right now, paying with Apple Pay is actually a legitimate way to pay.
Mm-hmm. And it's with half the usage of Google Wallet, but okay.
Well, no. I think it actually shines a light on it.
I know. I'll go back to that topic again.
Let's talk about the good things. First of all, let's go through specs. It's an evolution in some ways. The display is still 5.5 inches. It's still a 1080p full HD display, no quad HD, and I'll explain why. The camera is still 13 megapixels, but it has been significantly improved, and I'll explain how. Snapdragon 810, they're using version 2.1 of the firmware on that. It's apparently a slightly tweaked chip with 1.8 gigahertz clock speed. Octa-core, big, little, four large cores, four small cores. We're familiar with this chip from the kind of infamous chip from the HTC One M9, which overheats and has battery life issues often when playing games and stuff. So this chip has caused a lot of brouhaha, right, in the media out there. I don't think it's a bad chip, but I think that, talking to the OnePlus people, they said they worked really closely with Qualcomm to optimize performance on that chip, and they're not concerned with performance and heat and battery life. That being said, while I was shooting photos and videos with the phone in my hand and playing just briefly like Grand Theft, whatever, games, it was getting pretty toasty in my hand. It reminded me of the M9. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's not quite tweaked perfectly yet. But okay, in addition to that, 4 gigs of RAM. So that's what we were talking about earlier. Yeah. 4 freaking gigs of RAM. Holy crap. And then there's some really cool things. And so I've ranted about the things I didn't like. I'm going to rant about the things I loved, or rave about the things I loved. There are some really cool things about this phone. The fingerprint scanner, they collaborated with Qualcomm to bring that, and it's very much like the iPhone or GS6, one that you just tap. You don't have to scroll on it or anything like that.
And it worked pretty much.
What's brilliant about it is that it's faster than the iPhones and more accurate than the GS6, if you know what I'm saying. So it's just as accurate as the iPhones, but it's insanely fast. And the learning, you don't have to do any weird position. You just keep tapping the button and it just learns. You don't have to do like, you know how on the iPhone it tells you like, try like to convolute your finger now. No, this was just straightforward, and I was just blown away at the performance of the fingerprint scanner. So kudos to that. One thing I loved. Another thing I really loved is on the Switch, on the original OnePlus, they had the power button on the left and the volume rocker on the right. Now they have the power, the volume rocker and then the power button below on the right. And on the left, And you can see all this on the photos I did for Pocket Now. On the left, there's a slider, a physical switch with three positions. And these are, they call it the alert switch. And it's the three positions of the notifications in Lollipop and M. It's all off, priority only, all on. And that's really dope because honestly, now that I had this with my own account and just using it for 2 or 3 hours, I was like, I want every Android phone to have that feature.
Yes. Yeah.
As long as Google sticks with that approach, how about you make it programmable and it can still be mapped to vibrate only off, would be another option.
That was one of my biggest irritations when I first switched to Android like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. Remember even the Palm Pre had a switch like that. It was great.
Oh, yes.
So anyway, that really got me impressed. And then finally, I want to talk about there's USB-C. USB Type-C connector, which is a nice thing to have. And the build of this thing is super amazing. It is no longer this fake chrome rim with an entire cover that covers the edges of the phone that can be replaced. Now it's just like the Note 4, a back cover that's flush with the back and that can be peeled off with a little thing to put your fingernail on.
That's cool.
And the covers are all like $26.99 and the whole bunch bamboo and whatever. And the entire rim is machined aluminum or some alloy, just like the Note 4, with the little antenna gaps that are polished in. It's just beautifully made.
So nice.
Absolutely gorgeous phone. The last thing I want to talk about is the camera software. So you're going to say 13 megapixel with OIS and with laser autofocus. They've added this from the G4. I guess it's similar tech. It's an OmniVision sensor, 1.3 micron pixels, f over 2.0 lens. So all the ingredients in terms of hardware, they've nailed it. Now the problem is the software. What I saw was an evolution of the Android camera that, you know, clearly has been tweaked with OnePlus look and feel, but meh, it didn't do it for me. It still was a little delayed and while the autofocus is super fast, like you can do that trick where you do with the G4 where you put your finger and you remove your hand and it immediately refocuses, it's great. Like I can tell that, you know, they don't have manual controls, no shutter speed, no RAW, nothing like that. And they said, well, the third-party apps are going to do it. And they're also, we're going to bring in RAW soon. And I'm like, come on, guys. The one thing about the OnePlus One that pissed me off the most is that with limited camera software, hardware, they never really did too much with the software. Mm-hmm. I thought the camera software was always lagging and it was slow and it just didn't do it for me. And so they don't have a track record of really doing good camera software. And I don't really believe them when they say that they can reach the G4 levels of performance in software, because they have the hardware to reach to reach G4 levels of performance with this phone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if they do. But I'm not sure. So if you're not into cameras, this won't matter too much.
Right.
It's perfectly serviceable.
And by the way, if it's not obvious, you are very into cameras. So this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I'm not just the only one. Like the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus really brought the camera experience to a whole new level that is now the baseline.
Sure.
And this phone can match that baseline, yes. But, you know, the G4 and the GS6 have now brought that baseline a whole new dimension. Like it's really a whole new step. It's the same step we saw take with the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus happening again. And so if you want to be a flagship killer, I don't care what price point you're going to go for, you need to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And the software just doesn't live up to that.
Fair enough.
Now the price, $389 for 64 gigs, no micro SD. Wow. Like, holy crap. Hmm. Right? Amazing price. Now, August 11th, by invitation only, that's the one you can buy. In the future, there'll be a 16 gig version. Remember, no micro SD. So 16 gig sounds like a horrible idea to me.
Yeah,
but that'll be $329 US dollars.
That's great. But it requires that invite. And you need the invite from someone who bought a OnePlus 2 already.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, I think what they're doing with no manufacturer is perfect. And they're all going to have their flaws or their things. But I still don't understand the invite process. As the rollout, I mean, is it purely because they can't keep up a production or
this production thing?
Yeah,
they're a small player. For them, they need to order all these parts, and in order to amortize the cost of them, they need to start slow.
Yeah,
you know, you mentioned how they have the removable backing, and I was just thinking it would be smart of them to create a removable back option that includes wireless charging, like the Note 4 does.
It would be, but they don't have the contacts to do that. They don't have the hardware to support it.
They don't even have it built in.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. They don't even have the hardware to support NFC, apparently.
At least the Note 4 did that.
Of course it did.
Full price flagship, by the way.
It is a full price flagship,
So highly anticipated waiting for the OnePlus 2. Despite all that, is it a thumbs up or is it a thumbs down?
I mean, I think it's a buy. I could see myself using it in my daily driver. Honestly, the slider on the side is gold. Like, that's, I mean, awesome. That thing is amazing. I love everything about it, except for me, the lack of NFC, the lack of wireless charging, and the big question mark around the camera software. Oh, I didn't mention the display. The reason I went 1080p and stayed right with the 1080p and didn't go Quad HD was because of cost. They actually have one of the highest quality 1080p panel that money can buy. Okay. It is incredibly bright in bright sunlight. I was like blown away how good it is in bright sunlight. And it is the color rendition, everything about it is super, super awesome.
Honestly, I thought they were going to come out with a 4K display only because they emphasized the VR launch so much. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
you want a higher res display if you're going to do VR.
I mean, honestly, I don't think, don't let that stop you from getting that phone because, to meet that $389 price point, to me, that seems to be the big part that's really expensive that you can save money on. Mm. And kudos for them to make that decision. It's a tough decision to make. Somebody had to do it.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, if neither the OnePlus 2 or Motorola's new phones were up your alley, LG got into the game with announcing a new phone that you probably didn't expect. And Zach, can we show them what this phone looks like here?
This is highly anticipated. We've been waiting for a really long time. We've seen this one coming.
It's really, I mean, it's innovative. It's the Lollipop Gentle.
It's not a lollipop. It's the LG Gentle.
LG Gentle.
Yeah.
And it is a flip phone. It's a faux leather flip phone running Lollipop 5.1 with a 1.1 gigahertz quad-core CPU, 3.2-inch LCD touchscreen, 4 gig of storage, and one gigabyte of RAM. Apparently in Japan, for the first time in 7 years, flip phone sales rose 5.7%. All right, and this is likely a reaction to Japan's smartphone fees that are some of the highest worldwide. So LG is responding to that and creating a really nice looking flip phone.
Wait a minute. Flip, you guys remember that Mobile Congress announced two flip phones very much like that, very basic Android flip phones, the LG Wine, I think, or whatever it was, and there's another one.
Yeah, I remember the Wine. Yeah, I remember that one.
This is just another, you know, I asked LG if I want one of those so bad. Yeah. I think it's so dope.
There is something to the physical act of hanging up on somebody and flipping it and putting the phone down that has gone from my life.
I know, and the calling, boom.
I've asked LG Global PR for one of these to play with, and they're like, "We're sorry, these are Korea only, and it's going to be really hard for us to send you one." And I was like, "Oh man, I really want to rock this phone."
Yeah. That'd be great.
Because it's cheap.
We used to do Android in the wild. Remember the bit? We used to do this bit about Android in the wild where when you saw like a note, this is before the note got popular and all that sort of stuff. That's why we stopped doing it.
Yeah.
But like, no joke, every time I see a flip phone in the wild, whoever I'm with, I nudge him like, hey, look at the flip phone. Yeah. You know, like, because it's like such an anomaly.
Is it retro or is it new?
Yeah, exactly. So I support new.
I know you want to go to commercial. There's one thing I want to remind people about the OnePlus 2 that I completely forgot to mention is dual SIM. All of them
are.
Oh,
yes. Cool. Yes.
So that's actually dual SIM, dual LTE. So it's kind of like the Huawei P8 Lite in that sense. You can have two SIMs in there, two nano SIMs. That's it.
Yeah, the Zenfone 2 has that as well. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So that said, let's thank that sponsor. And we want to thank NatureBox for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And right now at NatureBox, you can get a trial of their favorite snacks and just pay $2 for shipping. You know you're going to snack, and when you do, you want it to be worth it, don't we all? Something that's tasty and satisfying, but doesn't make you feel guilty afterwards. What you need are snacks from NatureBox. Choose from over 100 healthy and crave-worthy options to be delivered right to your door. All their snacks are made with zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners, 0 grams of trans fats, and no high-fructose corn syrup. And best of all, they taste amazing. And so much better for you than the other snack options out there. So next time you're hungry, grab whole wheat chocolate chip cookie bites or strawberry lemonade fruit stars and get smart about snacking.
You stole the whole wheat chocolate chip cookie bite.
Are you kidding me?
They're pretty damn good.
It's all next to me and I can't have any of it. And they're just so wonderful. Look, mini Belgian waffles.
No, okay. So I, okay.
What?
Okay.
Right? Honey barbecue crunch.
Check this out. All right. I got some of these. These are like new flavors that we got sent to the studio, right? And I took the mini Belgian waffles and I started eating them yesterday. I literally had to like
stop.
I had to stop
eating them.
I was going to eat the whole thing. I was like, I need at least a couple in here so that I can make sure that on All About Android, everybody gets
one. Well, because you want me to try one at least, right? I mean, that's the whole...
Oh, did I save four,
I just
please? Yes,
one?
I saved four.
Oh, fantastic.
So everybody gets one.
Excellent.
Everybody gets...
You want a mini Belgian waffle bite?
A mini Belgian waffle bite, and they are really good.
These are so good. Mm.
And thankfully, it doesn't take long to eat them. Mm-mm. So when we go to the next segment, we can chomp on them. So, naturebox.com/twit, because it's awesome.
Yeah, so what you want to do, go to naturebox.com/twit, and you can get a trial of their favorite snacks delivered right to your door. No waiting. Just get it delivered as soon as you can. What are you waiting for? Go to naturebox.com/twit and start your trial today. And we thank NatureBox for their support of All About Android and keeping me and Jason healthy.
Sorry, we can't speak
right
now.
Afterwards.
Okay.
None of us can speak.
Let's go to apps, Zach.
I'll do that.
So nom nom.
Oh, am I?
It's all you, brother.
Dang it. Hold on.
Eating many Belgian waffles in the middle of the show, while delicious, not very good for the
it's
flow.
It's like eating burritos. Maybe not good.
Hey, I thought this was pretty cool.
It is.
A new maps update brings the timeline feature to your app, which when you enable it, so you actually have to kind of enable it to get access to it. It'll take you through your location history from your device. So it's day to day, right? It tracks... keeps track of photos that you took on that day at specific locations. Yep. Actually, the article kind of shows off an example. I was going to show it off, but every single page is down to like the address. So you would see where I lived. You see where my parents lived.
It's very personal.
It's very, yes. Yeah. It's very detailed. And, you know, it detects like, oh, you went to that restaurant. Was that where you went? You say yes, and it adds it to the history. Anyways, it's a really cool way to kind of like step back in time if there's a day that you want to, you know, retrace your steps.
It's great for stalkers.
On to the other side of it, right? Like, the more you look into it, and you can also name your places, which is what you're looking at here. If you go up, there's other screenshots that kind of show, kind of your routes and everything like that. And that third one in there is kind of what you see on a day-to-day basis.
That's cool.
For each day. Well, and it detects when you're in an airplane. It knows when you're walking, when you're driving, and you can see it on the map, all the places. It's really cool.
This is related to so much of that personal data stuff that they are starting to roll out UI for you to actually interface with. Mm-hmm. You know, like we've seen search history and location data and all that sort of stuff and being able to access this data. It's really cool. I was playing with this actually, and I was rolling back in time to see trips I took and things like that. I was like, oh yeah, I went there. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
They have this on the web version already, but not quite as like, it doesn't show you walking versus driving. It doesn't show you, doesn't tell you you can name things or whatever. Like, but it's kind of spooky, right? You can like,
well, it's like, it's all these years we've known they've had this data. And now we can use it. And so, like, it's gone from...
Well, that was nice of them.
Yeah, I know, right?
Thanks for telling me what I did. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And so one last quick one. Our friends over at Android Police noticed this last week, that at some point Google updated the YouTube app to play vertical videos full screen on devices as opposed to landscape with large black bars on the side.
I'm sorry.
But I love the black bars.
Vertical video is wrong. There's a PSA out there, several of them.
But if you're watching a vertical video, would you rather see it on the right than on the left?
I agree. Yeah. I just wanted to put it in.
I agree with you. I agree. Okay, yep, okay.
Why are people still recording? Like that,
because people don't know.
Why don't the camera app people just force you to rotate your phone?
Like Google tried that, didn't work.
They didn't. Yeah,
you mean
exactly.
They tried that. When you mean when?
On the stock camera app, it doesn't do it anymore. But on the stock camera app, if you were in video mode and you were vertical, it would have a little picture of a phone and arrows that went like this and turned
to try and get you to go.
No, all you do is you show them the image the wrong way, and they will move their phone the right way, everything will magically happen.
I mean, the reality is in more and more ways we live in a mobile-first world, and I think just a lot of people right now, they're shooting video to be seen on mobile devices.
Your eyes are not like stacked like this. Well, your eyes are stacked
like... Doesn't matter. We hold our phones like this, and some people just...
No, they do it. What cracks me up is just this week, I'm working on a whole bunch of projects, and one project I'm working on with buddies, and we entered into a Y Combinator startup kind of incubator thing. It was like, why not? Like, it was due yesterday, so why not? And one of the requirements was a 1-minute video explaining your idea. And they said, when you upload an unlisted YouTube URL, which you can't find in search results. And so Sunday night, I'm editing my video. I'm like, let me go look on YouTube. So I go look on YouTube, and I just search Y Combinator. And there are all these people who uploaded it as public. Uh-huh. And sure enough, 75% of them are vertical video. And I was like, oh, no, my God.
I so got like, a leg up on these people.
No, yeah, exactly. On Y Combinator?
No, these are people applying their applications.
Oh,
you
wow.
Know.
They would instantly fail.
Right, yeah, that's what I mean. I'm like, wow, right. You're not out of the gate. You're just, yeah, just turn the camera and then make it unlisted, please. But yeah, so, I mean, so clearly these are people who are self-identifying as tech enough to be entering a startup into an incubator. And sure enough, they're shooting, no, you know, vertical
some
video.
Some of the things got to be able to be done. Look, if you're shooting like this, right, why don't the camera apps just take, I know the sensor's rectangular like that, right? But then just crop it in low res, SD.
But then people are going to think that
well, now then they'll learn because then one day they'll put it like that. I'm like, whoa,
you're
4K.
User shaming. You're user shaming. Totally. That's a surefire way to get someone to uninstall your app.
That's a great way, yeah. All right. Cool. Let's
Speaking of apps.
Yeah, let's get into the arena.
And shaming. One of us is going to shame the rest of us with how awesome our app is when it gets voted on in this week's arena.
Shame. We should rename it to Shame.
But only one lives. Android Arena.
It should be like that last episode of Game of Thrones with the Shame Nun. Ring the bell and just say Shame.
Don't say anything.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't reveal it. Shame.
Spoilers. I've had so many spoilers of Game of Thrones, but because I've never watched a single episode, none of them stick.
Let's not talk about the spoiler topic. All right, so the stats on the arena before we reveal that last week's winner. Let's reveal last week's winner. So Jason wasn't here last week. So it was myself, and it was Phil Nickinson, and it was Melinda from Humble Bundle, and the winner was Phil's NPR One app. Yep. So with 45% of the vote, my camera app, ProShot, which you haven't seen, you should check out. ProShot is a pretty good camera. 32%. And then the game that Melinda brought, which is awesome. I downloaded and was playing Cook, Serve, Delicious.
That was cool. That's actually what I voted for. But at the same time, coming from the restaurant industry in my past, it kind of brought back a little bit. It cut too close to home.
Yeah.
So I can understand why maybe people didn't want to play a game that's all about working.
So what I thought was interesting, though, was with Phil's win, that makes guests tied for first with me with 10 wins on the year so far. And this Jason, you are now in last or second with 9 wins.
So what I get for like taking some time
off. It is a tight race this year. Yeah, I mean, really 9, 10, 10, that's really, yeah, so. Okay, so that said, you get to go first.
Oh, because I was out.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, fine. All right, fine. I find myself doing more and more kind of like streaming online and buying movies on Google Play and all this kind of stuff. And every Thursday night we have movie night at our house, and usually my 5-year-old asks for a new movie. And so I have to go searching, did this come out, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes it's not easy to know whether a movie is available for free streaming somewhere through Netflix or whatever, something I'm already paying for, or whether I actually have to go and buy it and all that kind of stuff. I had used Can I Stream It? For the longest time, which I like much better on the web than I do on the Android app. The Android app kind of blows, to be honest. But a new app, a new search engine of this kind just launched on Android. It's called Just Watch, one word. You do a search for Just Watch movies and TV shows because there is a Just Watch alone and something completely different. So Just Watch movies and TV shows. And it's basically, it's a search engine that allows you to catalog... Well, to search through all of these different services. So you can go up here and you can select the ones you actually care about, like or that you have access to. If I had HBO Now, I could activate that or whatever. If I only wanted to do movies and not TV shows, I could take that out. It has pretty great filters as well. I can go into filters here and you can narrow it down to decade. So I could I only want to see movies that released today on the services that I follow that are from the 80s, and genre, and you can dial it all in by quality and everything like that. And then when you go back out, it'll refresh and it'll show you, oh, well, today on Google Play, Uncommon Valor with Gene Hackman falls into that category. As well as a whole bunch. Let's see.
One of our country's national treasures, Gene Hackman.
Oh, yes.
He's wonderful.
Back to the Future, which
Was that never on Google Play? I'm not sure. And a whole lot of really morbid horror movies. That must have been a big dump there of horror movies. Wow, a lot of horror movies, actually. Netflix got Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh, okay, cool. So anyways, you can go through and you can do search like that. It also has popular, which tracks what people using the service, you know, the most popular titles that people are searching and finding through the service, through Just Watch. Price drops, if you are interested in, here, let me remove the
that's
filters
because cool.
That's limiting things here. Reset, go back. So this is, you know, if you want to, you know, just monitor things that have dropped in price so you don't have to spend $30 on season 13 of Project Runway. You can only spend, you know, $9.99 right now. If you act now, here, I'll go ahead and tap into that and see where I can find this amazing deal.
Yes.
And it looks like both Apple and Google Play are offering that amazing discount. And then you can add anything to a watch list, which kind of, if you'll see here, adds it over here in the watch list section. And that allows you to kind of keep track of it over time. So if it wasn't on sale right now, you could, you know, kind of be notified and know when it does go on sale or if a new episode appears in that series, whatever, and where it happens. So, I don't know. I just think it's a cool way, as little friction as is possible when you're monitoring tons of services mm-hmm. for this kind of stuff. But I think especially for, like, cord cutters, people who don't have access to, you know, cable subscriptions, that sort of stuff, this could be a good way to kind of save yourself a little bit of dough and go, oh, that's on Hulu right now. I'll watch it there instead of buying or renting.
Yeah. Given it takes me about an hour to find a movie that myself and my husband want to watch, that would be extremely useful.
Oh, man. Sometimes it's really hard, right? Like, I just kind of give up at a certain point. I'm like, I don't know.
Just sitting there on Netflix.
That's where just having a TV is actually very useful. He's like, I don't know this mm-hmm. channel.
We literally sit there for 45 minutes trying to figure out what to watch. And yep. it's like, and then it's like midnight.
Yeah,
like, well,
exactly. Then it's so late. Yeah, it's like, I don't have two and a half hours.
I sit there with my tablet and I'm like, oh, let's watch this trailer. And then, oh, it's just.
So then I guess you could just go to the popular tab.
That's a good idea.
You know what I did notice, and it made me realize I haven't seen it in a million years, is Run Lola Run.
I love Run Lola Run.
Such a good
That's
song.
A great movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
That's awesome.
That song. Do you remember that song? That like.
Oh, I meant the soundtrack.
Yeah, the soundtrack
okay.
is great. Yeah.
The soundtrack of Run Lola Run was the first MP3 soundtrack I downloaded.
It was totally, yes.
Legally.
I remember downloading the MP3, not of the soundtrack, but of that the main song, I Don't Believe It.
It took me forever to get the CD. Yep, but that was the very first time that I downloaded anything of not so proper means back in 1999, 2000.
Statute of limitations is over,
2000,
man. Okay,
whatever.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, there's something to this whole MP3 thing.
Nice.
Anyways, Just Watch. Just Watch, one word, movies and TV shows. Do a search for that, and you'll find it. And it's free.
That's
and it's awesome.
Cool.
There we go.
Very nice.
All right. So you go last, right?
Well, I didn't win, but I was here. I can go now or I can go last. Do you want to bookend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do Shannon's app next.
Okay.
Yeah, let's
All right,
do
Shannon,
Shannon,
you're up.
All right, so you need this in your computer, right?
I do need that. So I'll explain a little bit of background while I'm plugging this in and making sure that the HDMI actually works on my computer because I have to show you something. So there's a program called Wireshark that's available for a lot of operating systems that allows you to track what's happening with your data as long as you're connected to the internet. So it's called packet capturing, and it's something that a lot of forensics experts use whenever they're working with different companies to make sure that apps are secure and you're not allowing people to see your username and passwords whenever those are going over HTTP instead of HTTPS and things of that nature. So it's really, really useful for capturing that kind of data. So I know that's kind of weird sounding, but it's very, very important for a lot of different people. So I saw this application, and it's called T-Packet Capture. And this basically is Wireshark, but it's for your Android device as opposed to just an operating system. So the application is actually kind of boring looking. All you have to do is download it. It's free in the Google Play Store and hit capture. And then it starts capturing all the information that's going over your, where did it go? That's going over your wireless network connection. So as soon as I click OK, it starts running a capture. So it says it's running. And then I go to file list and it'll show me all the different files that I'm currently capturing on.
the video totally blank out.
The video something? Blanked out. That's okay. But luckily, the application isn't super interesting.
We're looking at about the same thing we were looking at.
So. Yeah. So once you're done capturing, you simply go into your menu and you click stop, and then you have a packet capture, a PCAP, that you can then upload to your computer. So now I can show you what it looks like when you upload it to your computer. So you open up this Wireshark program, and it shows you a whole bunch of different kinds of data. And this is all the things that has been happening on your phone when you're doing, like, social networks, when you're logging into Facebook, when you're just playing on Google Chrome, or whatever you might be doing. Luckily, most of the stuff on applications on Google Android are encrypted, so there's no problems. But now and then you can run into different things, such as my example, which is Instagram, where if I go through and browse all my Instagram likes, just the news feed, I guess I could call it, you can actually see everything that I viewed through Wireshark because it's not encrypted. So, for example, I have this GET request right here that went through HTTP. So that means that my phone was retrieving an image, and I can scroll down to the information down here, and it has a link to the image. So I double-click on that, and then I receive this picture. And that's a picture that I had viewed on the Instagram application when I was on my phone.
Wow.
That's cool. Kind of cool, right?
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of freaky. So the way I envision this is being very, very useful for app developers to make sure that their applications are closed down, are encrypted, and they don't have any kind of flaws that would enable people to see your username and password when you're logging in, see what kind of stuff that you're browsing, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's free. If you are unfamiliar with Wireshark, I did hack tips on it as well on Hack 5. So
nice.
It's pretty easy once you get used to it.
Wow. That's intimidating.
It's intimidating, right? But it's totally awesome once you delve into it. I was tracking through my data, and I was like, ooh, what's this picture? And I was clicking on stuff, and I was like, I remember liking that on Instagram. Crazy. Luckily, Facebook is very encrypted, so good job, Facebook.
How far back does it go? I guess it just depends on the data that's stored by the app.
Yeah, it depends on how long you will leave it running. So, for example, on this, it says storage size I have available is 23 gigs right now. Free, I have 4.8 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
So I have free 4.8 gigs that I could keep capturing on this packet file. Luckily, packet captures only take up a few kilobytes every time you want to capture.
It's not a lot of data. I mean,
it's not.
The amount of the actual data. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it doesn't take up very much space, and then you just upload it into Wireshark, and there you go. You can view all of the data that you have been viewing on the internet.
Wow. Cool.
Interesting. Very
crazy.
Crazy.
Love it.
Cool. So that is, let's see here, that is T-Packet Capture, all one word. T-Packet Capture.
All right.
All right. And?
Cabinet. All right. Yeah. So if you just stop me on the street and say, what are some of the apps that you look for? What are the categories? File managers are always one I'm always on the lookout for, as well as material design. And this app is a really beautiful app made by an independent developer that I discovered a couple of weeks ago called Cabinet. It's actually in beta, so it's Cabinet Beta. It's free in the Google Play Store, and it is a beautiful material design file manager app. And so, Zach, we want to take my phone. Do you have it?
Yeah.
All right. So if I just open up Cabinet, I'll rate it later. So here you see it's got all the earmarks of material design in terms of our action button, the upper, hamburger bar and that sort of thing. You see here this whole file structure of my phone. And what happens is that you hit the hamburger menu, and you could choose on where you want. You can get access to root, which is pretty cool, as well as your internal storage. And if you have a phone with an SD card, you can access the external storage. But what's also interesting is that straight out of the gate, it allows you to access the DCIM folder, which is your camera's folder. So I can go in there and I can get right into my camera photos as opposed to having to dig down and find it in the File Explorer, as well as my download folder, my music folder, my pictures. It's this idea of just jumping directly to the folders that you use most often.
Can you customize that at all?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I don't think in this mode, because if I go to settings, it's limited in terms of what you can do in terms of settings. But let's see, navigation draw. Yeah, no, you can't. So.
That's
maybe that's something that he's going to add soon. So, but what you can do is you can adjust the theme. You can change the colors. So I can change the primary color of this to, I can go to that
pink
color. Yeah, exactly. And change the accent color to blue. See, there you go. I can add a colored navigation bar. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Navigation draw. Let's say I don't want access to root. I don't want to see that, because I'm kind of worried. I can turn that off. I can turn off the external storage. I can turn off showing the free space. You can turn it back on. And then in behavior, you can specify how it exactly works, whether you want to load thumbnails or not, or remember the last folder you used or whatnot. But what's super neat about it is that in addition to being able to access these folders, let's say, you know, like I'm accessing my camera folder all the time. What I can do is I can add a book. Oh, wait, there you go. You can add a bookmark. There it is.
Ah!
So there it is. So if there's a folder you use all the time, you can add a bookmark to it. What I was going to show was you can add it to the home screen, or you can show a you can add a shortcut to your home screen. And where did I put it? I put it right there. Yeah, so I'll move it over here. So boop, boop. So now this icon just goes right to that folder.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Right? Those iPhone people are jealous.
Yeah, aren't they? I bet you. The access to their file system. So in addition, it's got full search, as well as you can specify how you're sorting things, whether you want to sort them by extension or size or whatnot. So, so cabinet, material design, powerful file explorer, gives you access to root, allows you to set shortcuts and bookmarks to get directly into folders, pretty much checks off all those boxes for a good file manager.
And it's free right now?
Free. Totally free.
Handy.
Totally free.
That's it. That's my file manager.
There it goes. Yeah. Awesome. Cabinet.
Cabinet.
Cabinet. So
it's got a great name, too. It's like, you know, very material design.
Yeah, and it's got a great icon. And what's great is that I looked into it. It's just a guy. It's like this is the – he's got two apps. One, the other app is like examples of material design tool – like toolkit and this app. So clearly he just focused and did a good file explorer, which I love.
That's
so
cool.
So go support him. So, and there's some in-app purchases within there to unlock functionality and that sort of thing. But it's free in Google Play Store. So
nice. Yep. Cabinet beta. I love it. I've actually used it plenty of times. Love it.
Oh, yeah. My turn?
Yeah.
Wow. See, here I think I could slip one by you.
I play with a lot of apps.
I know, and yet you haven't brought it, you didn't bring it into the arena. How did that happen?
Because I put it on the other show, and then I feel like I'm, but actually the other side of that is today's app is totally on this week's other show.
I think it's okay to do both.
You do? I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes I feel a little weird.
You're allowed to cheat. You took
maybe
a vacation.
You wouldn't be in last then.
Oh, maybe I need to ramp it up so I'm not in last place. There we go. All right, Miriam, what you got?
I've got this app called VLC Mobile Remote. You can see it here on my lock screen. Maybe if you can bring up my my phone from overhead view. There we go. Might want to zoom in a little bit. You can see there's a widget just sitting there on my lock screen, and that will let me control...
What is that fancy widget?
Let me control this over there. I don't know if you can put like a two window side by side and show Jason's
laptop. We didn't warn
laptop.
You about this, Zach. Sorry.
Jason's laptop.
Yeah, let me just put that around. Yeah. Wait, do you have HDMI out on this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, I've got the HDMI going.
Okay, so the output of Jason's laptop and the screen on my phone at the same time would be super dope if you can swing it. No? Maybe?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it takes a while.
Okay, anyway, I'll describe. Yeah. So basically, this is a remote app for remoting VLC on your Mac or PC, which
That's
is really,
cool.
really, really cool. So as you can see, it's living in the tray here all the time. And from there, I can tap on it and go into the app itself. Now, it's ad-supported, you know, but it lets you control everything about VLC once you've configured it. And the best part about it is that it has a little bit of a wizard to walk you through the process. I did it with Jason earlier to set it up on his computer. So it tells you what to turn on in your VLC settings, basically, to make it an HTTP-capable receiver. It's encrypted. There's a password.
There we go.
Good
job, Zach.
So watch. I can play here, right?
It's magical.
And I can like scrub through the video all I want.
Whoa.
And it's in real time. Change the volume here. You see, I don't know if you see the volume slider change on the bottom there. Pause it. And so, you know, you get like, you can play with a bunch of the advanced controls, obviously, subtitle, all that stuff. Anyway, random, loop, all the things you'd expect. If you have a playlist set up, these two buttons obviously work. I just love it because I'm often watching videos on VLC that I've like downloaded and I want to be able to use them with my phone. Like, my computer is kind of my main entertainment system. So
yeah, if you use your computer or if your computer's hooked up to your TV monitor
on my Mac Mini, for example, which is what I use, the infrared remote, the Apple infrared remote works, right? Yeah. But it doesn't give me that level of functionality. Here's the other thing you can do that's really cool. You can actually decide... where is it? Somewhere in here, I think. Let me find it. There is a way to get to the file system. So you can like pick a file. Let me see where I can find it. No, that's not it. No, premium features, you can buy an upgrade. Oh, I think it's maybe in here. I know that you can. It lets you browse the file system on your computer and actually through it and find the files. Let's see if I can find it.
What were you saying before the show that was? Oh. Wasn't it the premium feature?
No, I think that was a premium feature on the other app. So,
oh, I see.
Gotcha. Let's see. Home. So there you go.
There you go.
So this is your entire Mac.
Whoa.
And I can go. I know it's kind of dangerous, but remember, this is password protected when you configure it. So if
you can sell Shannon's packet.
So if I go up, let's see, there's Jason Howell. I can go to movies and I can pick this video again and play it. So you can actually do that.
Yep,
so
and it's
basically, if you have... Go. And it's right
That's
here.
That's awesome.
If you have VLC on your computer, all you really have to do is like basically pull out your phone with your TV on and your speakers on. And if VLC is full screen, it's really the only thing you need to do. And you might be able to put it full screen from here, but you just pick the video you want to play from your file system and roll.
Nice.
Cool.
I love it.
It's awesome.
That's very
cool. So it's just, you know, there's others. This is not the only one. There's another one that we found when I Googled this one called just VLC Remote. So I'm not necessarily, you know, saying you have to go with this one, but I've used this one. I know it works. And you can update it with premium. I don't know exactly what this one gives you for premium, but notice that he's a disabled VLC, so it's gone. So now it says, I cannot find VLC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So when you kill the app on your Mac, it doesn't work anymore. The one thing I love about it though is the little widget that puts in your notification tray. It's really cool. So you don't have to in your lock screen, you don't have to constantly go to the app. So I mean, you know, for a free app, you just can't go wrong, right? Like it's just a basic thing. And all you need is VLC version 2.1 or higher. That's it.
That's
on your Mac or PC. And by the way,
which you should have anyway.
It supports PCs and it supports Linux VLC as well. Cool. So if you're a Linux user, you can go crazy. There you go. That's my choice for this week.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
VLC is a must have.
Yeah, it really is great. Mobile Remote. PC and Mac, if you do a search for VLC Mobile Remote, you'll find it on the Play Store. There are a few of them there, but that's the one that Miriam is showing off. And that is free. Cool. So if you want to place your vote for your favorite app this week in the arena, just head on over to AAApoll.com/224, AAApoll.com/224, and place your vote. I'm going to go ahead and place a vote for my own because that's what I do.
Go for it. You should.
That's what I do here.
Nothing wrong with that.
And we'll see what happens, but place your vote. Is it Just Watch? Is it Cabinet Beta? T-Packet Capture? And VLC Mobile Remote? Excellent arena. All four great apps.
That's a really solid arena.
And it covers a lot of different angles, too. So.
And if either Shannon or Miriam win, guests will be pulling
guest
ahead.
Guest has 50% chance
of
winning
this
time.
Year of the guest.
Dang
year
it.
Of the guest.
Right here.
What is the guest? What is guest as a group win if they take the year?
That's a good question.
Cake.
Ooh. Okay, we'll make a cake.
Just saying.
I want some cake.
Cool. We all
I'm
win.
Pro cake.
If the prize is cake, we all win. So.
I'm pro cake.
I'm cool with that.
Give me my cake.
I think that's it. We talked about all the things. Everything that was worth talking about, and I can make a blanket statement like this. Everything that was worth talking about in the past week, 7 days of Android news, we've talked about.
All the
so
news.
If we didn't talk about it, it's not important. That's how it works.
All the great things.
That's right. All the great
all
things.
All the things.
Miriam Jouar, always a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much
for coming a day after.
You know, my only big regret is that we couldn't walk away with the phone.
I know.
They said they would send me one soon, whatever that means. And, I actually even asked again on the way out. I was like, so can we take one home?
Seriously,
they're like, no.
Seriously, were you joking?
I mean, I'll be honest with you. The hardware is final, but the software, they're like, for pinch to zoom did not work system-wide on on mine. Like, it would, I would actually zoom, but then as soon as you put the fingers off the screen, it would come back.
They knew
about it. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Like, obviously, they still need to work on the software.
And that's their Oxygen OS, right?
Correct. It's Oxygen OS.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this phone is great. It's going to be one of the greats of 2015 and 16 for sure. But I just, you know, I want people to know what they're getting themselves into.
Absolutely.
100%.
There's some definite trade-offs for that one, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Where can people follow your work online? Obviously, you're doing stuff for Pocket Now.
Awesome. I mean, you know, tinkerl.com is my blog, and this is where my own podcast and my own video reviews, which are scarce these days because I do most of my reviews for Before You Buy here on the Twitten Network.
Yes.
And you can find me on Google right there below here and on Twitter at Tankerl. So just remember, Tankerl, the comic book, drop the vowels. That's how you find my handle. Yes, I do freelance work sometimes for Pocket Now, for Android Central, for Mobile Geeks, and who else have I done some for? ReadWrite. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm just available sometimes. In this case, it was one of those, Moto announced the launch the next day. They had to be in New York. They couldn't be in San Francisco, New York at the same time, and I came to the rescue, and I was like, of course, I'd love to do that. It was three blocks from my house.
Oh, wow.
Like,
so
I'm
you
like,
to travel
really?
And everything,
how does that happen, right?
That's intense.
That's great.
That's awesome. Right on.
Well, we appreciate it, and we'll have you back soon.
Thank you.
As always. Shannon Morris, man, it's been too long since we had you on the last time.
I missed you guys.
We'll get you back sooner this next time.
You should.
We always love having you on.
Thank you.
You got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I do. We've been really busy. I took the last week off just like you did, so I have clue what's happening.
Did you
on
go
the
to Boise,
show.
Idaho as well?
I wish I did, but I ended up going to a beach instead.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought I saw you at Roaring Springs Water Park.
Oh,
water slide park?
No, I wasn't there. I don't go to water parks. No, I'm just kidding.
I did. It was
at least they
fun.
Don't have sharks like North Carolina does.
Yeah.
Which is where I was.
The whole East Coast.
Yeah.
there's like two were spotted off of Long Island. It's very disconcerting.
It's pretty nuts over there right now. They're calling them rogue sharks.
Yeah, the locals.
So, that's you can problem. Find everything over at hak5.org. It's got links to all the different shows that I'm doing right now. Specifically, we've been really promoting ThreatWire and Tech Thing, which is TEK Thing. Both of those are promoted over on Patreon, patreon.com, because we're just doing crowdfunding mm-hmm. for both of those shows. ThreatWire is ad-free. That one's all about internet security, privacy, internet freedom, things like that. So lots of news coming out of the conventions next week that we'll be discussing on that.
Well, I'm sure.
We've been talking about a lot of OpenVPN and the new LAN Turtle that we just came out with on Hack 5, which is a local area network Ethernet-specific penetration testing device that we just created. All Hack 5, what? And then Tech Thing, we are going to be going all Windows 10 this week since the release is happening. So that'll be a lot. Lots of fun. We'll see how it goes. I'm planning on installing it on my gaming machine, so hopefully it doesn't
work. So you mean
you're
going to live with Windows 10, all of you, for the week?
Not on this computer, because this is my work machine and it has to work. So, but my home machine, I'll probably just like dual boot it and make sure that it works. So hopefully it does.
Yep.
So yeah, that's what's happening with me. If you enjoy that kind of stuff, hak5.org is where you can go.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you, Shannon. Always a pleasure.
You too. And I pet you.
Oh. Petting Jason is a long-standing tradition here on the show, so good job.
I don't know what to say to that. Ron, what about you?
I thought I was busy, but I'm not nearly as busy as these two. I'm working on a bunch of stuff, but I'm working on like four things that are all in the quiet mode, so I can't really talk about them right now. But what I can talk about is go over to iFanboy, check out iFanboy.com. We're talking about comic books every week, every Sunday. We got a new episode of the Pick of the Week podcast, which is a blast with Josh and Connor, my compatriots over there. And you can find me at about.me/RonXO, where it's got links to my Twitter and Google+ and Instagram and all that fun stuff. And that's where you can stay tuned for when I've got stuff, which I will have. I think I've got a new project coming out in September, so keep an eye out for that. And that'll
nice.
Be fun. So, yeah.
I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, I almost forgot. Somebody in the IRC mentioned it. I do have an announcement over at DEF CON. If you're going to B-Sides in Las Vegas, there's a big pool party happening on August 5th, and we are promoting our 10-year anniversary on August 5th for nice. Hack 5. Yeah, we've been around for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're going to have a cake, and supposedly champagne will be involved, and it'll be a big old happy birthday party.
See, that's great. See,
please come.
And it's a pool party.
So iFanboy, my comic book podcast, is going to be 10 in October.
So many are coming up on 10
now. But like, we're not throwing a pool party. We're not doing anything. We're just going to go, yay, 10 years, and then just keep going. But yeah, that's so I'm good on you for throwing a pool party.
Yeah, well, it's B-Sides throwing the pool party, and they were nice enough to let us do it. There.
Make it your pool
10
party.
Years of Technolust. What?
That's awesome. That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I wish I was going to the hacker convention.
Yeah. You can come.
I know, but if I go, then all my devices will be
just turn them off
broken
be fine. I wish I could
but I actually already just took a week off, so I don't think I can do that. As much as I would love to, I will leave it to the professionals. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music when I do stuff at yellowgoldmusic.com. I also have another Android show called Android App Arena. I review 3 to 4 new Android apps every single week. It is challenging, but it is fun and rewarding. This week, I'm working on an episode about calendar apps. And there have been a couple of really cool new calendar apps that have released lately. So I'm going to talk about those. And as for this show, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email at AAA@twit.tv or a link to a video in that email. It magically transforms to a video mail. Twitter, we are at Android Show. We're on Google Plus. We have a community there. Just search for All About Android. We are on Reddit, twitaaa.reddit.com, if you still go to Reddit. Show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. Also, you can find our episodes on YouTube and iTunes. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, at twit.tv. Click on the live button. And that's it. Have a great week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone. Yes!